Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an absolutely fantastic day today. As always, hope you had a great week. I had a good weekend. We had a joint birthday party for my daughter and my youngest son. We're trying to do them together. They're like a week apart. This year, we figured we could actually pull it off, as we're probably going to have to separate them eventually with the birthdays. They're going to get irritated about it. But, yeah, it was a good time. Got to have good people, good friends over. Lana ended up doing this massive cheese plate. It was like this great organic cheese. It was great. It was great. I had entirely too much cheese, though. But it was a good time. Be sure, if you guys need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. Y'all voted it won last week. I told you the Ultimate Multiple Without Iron on sale for over 15% off right now. And, yeah, be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week as well. You can see the other products on there you can vote for. And right now we're looking at zinc and excellent C. So, yeah, be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com. Also, sure to check out the best sellers. If you try them, you like them, make sure you give us some reviews on here as we're keeping everything updated. And to give you guys also an update on shipping. If you guys know this, after Christmas, after New Year's, post office, even UPS a lot of times, are just not on par with the normal time frames. It just happens on a regular basis. Stuff that should take 3 to 4 to 5 days takes 5 to 6 to 7 days just because everything is so backed up. And now, again, I think today's
And that's priority mail.
Yeah. I mean, even UPS sometimes, too.
UPS, you know, priority mail used to be 2 to 3 days. Not anymore.
And now, again, today's another priority mail holiday. Again, Martin Luther King Day, which is fine, but now there's no more mail running to get today. So UPS is running. So my entire solution set that we put to that 3 years ago, if you guys need something in a hurry, we're here to help you. We have VIP, expedited, select shipping available on the website. I don't make any money on it, to be honest with you. A lot of times I lose money on those shipments. It's a flat $19.99 fee. It pushes your order not only to the front of the line. We usually get anywhere between next day air and second day air, and it's right to your door UPS. It's not guaranteed, but it is insanely faster than any other option for only a few dollars more, and you're going to get your product really, really, really quick every single time. So that's always available on the site. So if you are in a hurry, you need it now, you're backed up on supplements and you need something, use the expedited VIP shipping option and get your orders really, really quick. I did that for everybody to mitigate this situation, and it has worked every time, so take advantage of it.
You know, it's funny because, you know, people order from Amazon, you know, to our chagrin. I don't care for Amazon. Yeah. I try never to order anything from Amazon. But the sad part about it is that if you don't have the Amazon Prime, they'll charge you $10 to $15 every shipment.
Oh, easy.
No, everything.
And Prime's, what, $200 or $300 a year, too, if you want Prime.
Like 15, it's like $200 a year.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it is if you add it all up, you know, they'll say, oh, it's going to be on like something they're mailed to you, like in an envelope. It may be $7 or $8 more.
Yeah.
We don't do that kind of stuff. And you know, and the sad part about it is that, you know, we'll charge you like $20 for like next day, second day air. And, we're paying like $20 for next day, second day, if not more. And it just saddens me that people complain about the priority mail charges that we may have if you want to use it, but they'll pay it to Amazon every time they order something.
Well, they do. And the problem is Amazon now indirectly psychologically ruined a lot of the population, and they don't even realize it's been done to them. Because, you know, USPS subsidized Amazon for the last decade.
They did.
They subsidized them. Per tax dollar money, billions of dollars a year were lost via priority mail subsidized to Amazon. I remember contacting USPS years ago, one of the top guys that was giving us the pricing on it, and he goes, you can't get Amazon pricing. I said, what do you mean? He goes, they have their own tier pricing that supersedes everybody else's pricing. It's their own category. We deliver on Sundays for them. He goes, we'll take a package that will normally charge you $8 or $9 priority mail that'll take 3 to 5 business days for you, and we'll charge them $3.25 and we'll deliver it on Sunday for them. I said, well, how's that fair? They get their own pricing structure. He goes, because it's Amazon. Well, now Amazon, by the way, has dropped priority mail.
They've dumped the post office.
So we've subsidized it for a decade. They've built their infrastructure. They got their Boeing 27s. They got all their gay electric vehicles that drive around Auburn all the time now and stop on the side of the road. One of them was caused an accident.
Block everybody.
No, he's on 5-9. He didn't pull on the sidewalk. He stops in the middle of a two-lane
state highway,
flips his hazards on, and leaves the car. And we're like 20 cars behind him. Nobody even sees where he's at. Finally, he comes walking back from the house on his thing. I mean, walking slower than molasses on Sunday morning in December up in Minnesota. I mean, just He sees there's 30 cars behind him, stop. Nobody get around him. Gets his little electric car, starts his little Gabo-mobile. They don't really start. He just starts driving. Goes 20 feet down the road, does it again. And finally, we all start going around. Everybody's honking on their horns, sitting on their train horns.
He should
around.
Get a ticket for this.
Yeah. Because every house had a driveway. Every house had a driveway. Let me clarify that. He didn't pull the driveway. He stopped in the middle of the road and put his hazards on.
State highway.
Yeah. So, again, just another reason why I can't stand Amazon. So thank you for supporting us directly. Thank you for supporting Health Masters and the company that you get.
And sorry that we have an attitude about Amazon.
I'm not sorry I have an attitude about Amazon.
Let me qualify this. But, you know, we have a right to have an attitude towards Amazon.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the way they treat us and treat everybody, I mean, they wanted to have all of our priority information on who manufactures our supplements, our formulas, and the contact numbers of our sales reps and who we're manufacturing for us. We said, no, it's proprietary. We're not giving that to you, just so we could have the privilege of being on their website. Yeah. We told them no. That's why if you wonder why now we have like hardly anything. Do we even have the health master?
We got an account on there, but they keep flagging me for stuff on it. We had the purple sticks on there.
I probably took them off too.
Yeah, and then we put them back up again. But it's become such a nuisance. And then when we originally did have them, they come and say, well, it doesn't matter what you sell. It's a 15% seller fee plus. So that's sometimes 20%. So if you got a product, you sell for $50. Right out the gate, they take 10. Well, then I pay shipping on the package. And they don't give me any shipping charges.
We operated a 30% margin, if you guys want to know. That's normally what we try to do as far as then that covers overhead. The problem with that is Amazon takes 15% of
took all the margin.
They take 50% of the profit on the transaction. So if we're selling, and that's why if you notice, our products are always more expensive on Amazon than they are on our website. We had to do that. Otherwise, we were losing money selling on Amazon. And the only way that compensates for you if you're selling huge amounts of products on Amazon. But we don't sell huge amounts of products on Amazon, so it wasn't compensating. So it was. I remember one guy, I bought a swamp cooler one time.
Yeah.
And I had looked at Amazon years and years ago, 10 years ago. That's a big fan with electric thing that cools things off of.
They're nice in Florida.
They're nice in Florida. Better in the drier states, though. And I remember the guy called me up from the transaction didn't go through. He stopped and he goes, will you please order it direct from me?
Yeah.
He said, when I do this, he goes, I'll give you a little better price, but I lose money on Amazon. He goes, I can't make my profit. I can't cover the overhead. See, if you're operating at a 30% margin and you cut the 30% out, at that point you operate at a loss. And then you got to pay 3 or 4% in Visa American Express transaction fee, 15% Amazon fee. That's 20% right there. Then you got to pay freight. Well, now you've got $10 in freight that you're paying for, and you have no margins left. It's just over with. The product, you're selling the product at cost is what you're doing. Now, we had an employee years ago, and she really didn't understand shipping and freight and all that stuff. And she goes, well, it'll work itself out. I looked at her and said, it doesn't work itself out. It doesn't work like this.
It doesn't work itself out because it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. By the way, there's a super flu right now ravaging America, and 15 more children have died. Now, let me explain something to you about this. You know, a lot of the times this is because of a vitamin D3 deficiency, especially in the northern states where you don't get any sunshine. This is the same thing that wiped so many people out with the swine flu during the First World War. I mean, 40, 50 million people died globally from the swine flu, and it was from a lack of vitamin D as in dog 3. And the problem is that people think they're going to get all the vitamin D they need from their skin, and they don't because of the overcast nature of the northern cities, northern climates, etc. In addition to that, all the sunscreen and all the umbrellas. I know people, they will run around with an umbrella in the summertime coated in sunscreen just not to get any sun, and they stay sick all the time. In fact, it's one of my siblings. Sick all the time. They're literally on a dozen prescription medications.
There you go.
And you try to talk to them, and they simply don't listen. You say, will you supplement with D3? No. Here are the article that tells you need to. No. Will you read it? No. And it's just, and you're like, geez, why are you so adamant about trying to stay healthy? You know, they're literally sick all the time. The sad part about all of this stuff is that it's not a hard fix. D3, K2 is one of the easiest things that you can do to stay healthy. And we got the D3, the zinc, and the vitamin C. This is a great snack for your immune system. Now,
if the kids need vitamin D3, you want to add more to it. You don't want to use the 10,000 K2 because they're a little bit younger. That's why we put the D3 liquid together, which is 1,000 IUs per drop. and does an incredibly good job at helping out maintain healthy D3 levels in children or adults. Anybody can take it, depending on the dosage you want to take, but it doesn't even really have a taste to it. It's in an oil suspension, now, really clean.
Now, it's Monday.
It is Monday.
I'm going to go graphic for a second. Okay, now just don't send me letters on this because I'm gonna
it's paint Monday, dude.
I'm gonna paint some pictures that people are not gonna forget. All right, your office water cooler could be hiding a silent killer. Study reveals.
No, boy.
Yeah, this is a little thing where you walk up to the water and you push the little button.
Yeah, I know. Out. Everybody's used them before. In the office,
we all do.
Store, yeah, everybody's tried them. You're thirsty.
Well,
you, water.
You know, 88% of them,
yeah,
have feces on them.
Oh, that's nice. That's fantastic.
You know, the drink machines, when you go over to anywhere, you go to a restaurant and you have drinks. You get water, you get ice, you push the button.
Yeah, the soda fountain, you get water out of it.
88% feces.
That's nice.
And you think, well, how do you have feces on this? It's because people use the bathroom, they get poop on their hands, and they don't wash their hands. Now, I have said this so many times on the show, but because we have children dying now because of the flu, they're catching this stuff because their parents are giving it to them, or these kids are playing when they want to touch everything. The other day, when I was over at, you know, Disney Village getting groped by their stupid security people, he didn't touch me, though. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about it.
He actually take your pants off, didn't he, though?
He wanted me to unbuckle my belt.
Oh, there you go.
He didn't ask me to take my pants off.
Well, I forgot. It's Disney. I'm not surprised.
I was that queer weirdo over there in the doggone St. Louis airport that time. I called TSA and filed sexual assault charges on him.
It's not gay if it's TSA.
I know. We said that last week. It's sad, isn't it? But, so we're going down the escalator, and I told my date, I said, don't touch the rail.
Yeah.
It's got feces on it.
What?
I said, it's got poop on it. Now, let me paint a picture for you, okay?
I'm going to do something
I've never done. So somehow this concept continues to elude everybody.
What, okay? As far as washing their hands?
No, about touching stuff.
And washing your hands.
Okay, let's talk about it for a second. I'm going to go to the local septic tank, local sewer, and I'm going to get a bucket of feces. And I'm going to pick up the feces in a bucket. I'm going to have my gloves on, my hazmat suit on, and everything else. And I'm going to bring a big paintbrush with me. And I'm going to paint the handrail on the escalator with feces. And I'm going to go to the elevator button. I'm going to paint it with feces. And I'm going to put a big sign on it that says, warning, contains and covered in feces. And I think just maybe when you have the flies on the handrail, and the stench is unbearable, that people may say, I shouldn't touch the handrail. Now, they can't put a big sign up there, don't touch the handrail, because if you fall down the escalator, you're gonna sue them. So, but I'm letting you know, especially right now when so many people are sick with the flu, don't touch public areas. People don't wash their hands. That's what they said with COVID. We don't know how to get people to wash their hands because it's transmitted through feces. Now, I can't be any more graphic than that. That's about as disgusting as I've ever made it. But be careful with this stuff. And when you go to the bathroom, okay,
hey guys, this is a big
okay,
one.
Take the stinking towel off the rack. Okay, turn the knob with the towel. The knob has feces on it.
Or the paper towel. You get paper towels on the side.
Yeah, yeah. Or sometimes now you don't have to touch them. Those are great.
Those are really great. You don't touch anything.
You don't touch. There's no door on the bathroom. There's no door on the faucets. There's no door. There's no button to push on the toilet. Okay. There's nothing. Okay. Everything's hand free. So you're touch free. There's a reason they're doing that. It's because of the feces. And that's why they have big signs in restaurants. You must wash your hands if you're an employee.
I know, you see it all the time.
No, we had years ago, Long John Silver's over here in Lake Winter Haven gave out a bunch of coleslaw that was contaminated with feces. And a whole bunch of people in a local church ended up with liver failure and had liver transplants. It happened here in Auburndale. And it was horrible. And of course, Long John Silver's that was doing it, they went out of business. They got sued to oblivion and back. But the crazy part about it is that people, for some reason, don't understand what simple hygiene is. Now, if you wash your hands all the time and you rinse them and there's not dirt or grease on them, you can run water over them. Just running water will do it because the water in the bathroom is going to have chlorine anyhow. You don't have to dry your skin out with a bunch of soap. But if you happen to get feces on your hand and you happen to see it and you happen to have oil on your hand or something else, use some soap and clean your hands right. Then you can use some moisturizer. Don't use, listen to me, the hand sanitizing oils or liquids.
Alcohol, usually.
Alcohol. Yeah. Number one, they allow the liver fluke to complete its life cycle in you, which is that's another parasite nightmare story. And number two, it dries out your skin unbelievably, and it creates super microbes that basically get stronger and stronger and stronger on your skin. Don't do it. I mean, in the end, the doggone bugs win anyhow, because if you don't get cremated or you're not embalmed, they eat you anyhow. So it's just part of the world of how we live it. It's a great circle of life. But the reality is you don't need to deal with that while you're alive, as far as having to hassle with this microbe stuff. Fecal coliform is on everything because people won't wash their hands. And now, so when you wash that, when you walk out of the bathroom, if you got to touch the door, you know, just use the paper towel and put the paper towel in the garbage can. That's a lot of bathrooms now, Austin, are putting trash cans right by the door.
I've even trained Hunter to do it now, too. He'll do it. You get a paper towel, you get to wash your hands. You have
9 years old.
Wash your hands, use the towel, open the door, walk out, be done with it.
So you say
simplistic habit.
Well, no, and then you say, you're being ridiculous. No, I'm not being ridiculous. I'm being ridiculous is telling everyone that I have to paint the handrail with feces with a paintbrush to try to make you understand that that's what's on there. It's that sickening. It's that disgusting. If you can't go down the handrail safely with the escalator without gripping everything, just take the elevator. There's always an elevator. Always take the elevator. Use a paper towel to push the elevator button. Be careful. Right now, this stuff is super contagious. It's hitting everything all over the country right now. And then another study came out. It was talking about how many all the different areas in the country, because now they're trying to justify why the average age expectancy, life expectancy in the United States is dropping.
Huh.
It's the first time. Well, you know why, don't you? The magic C word, COVID, shot, bioweapon. We've dropped that because people are dying at much lower rates now. Much younger people are dying. And they're saying, it says, where will you live the longest? And it starts showing all the people here in the Old South, in Mississippi and in Alabama, and, you know, in Tennessee and all these other places where people are going to be dying like flies here in the next few years. And it's talking about, it says, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi. Why is that? Because they eat pork all the time. We just showed you it's a Class A carcinogen last week. Did we not, Austin?
Yeah, type 1.
And I've got good friends. Well, I like my bacon. And I mean, and they listen to the and they listen to our podcast. I like my bacon. And I'm like, just use turkey bacon. No, I like my pork. I like my bacon. Now, I don't know what else to say. And the person who does this, Austin, he has all kinds of health problems. He's always in the hospital, has all kinds of heart issues, everything else. But he wants to eat his pork. And I sit back and I go, dude, it's not just me. The Bible says if you eat this stuff, you're going to die. By the way, it does say that. Now, it doesn't say it that way, but it says choose life, not death. This is what it says. If you eat this, you're going to have these long linear diseases, and you're going to die. You're going to be cursed is what it says. But, you know, what do? We don't want to do all that, do we? We want to continue to eat our pork. Don't get me wrong. I was raised as a Kraut. I just said that, didn't I? As a German. I gave myself a little racial slur so you could realize that I try to be balanced on the show.
You Kraut, you.
I used to have a license plate named Kraut.
That's actually really funny.
It was funny.
I'm surprised they probably banned that now. They probably wouldn't let you.
Somebody else got it.
Did they?
Yeah. Kraut.
I guess I'm going to say one for it.
And what was funny is that, you think, are you actually, it's a little self-deprecation because I joke about that. Because to me, World War II is not what we thought it was.
Nothing is what we think it was.
But they were really, they're all about pork. I was raised that way.
Germans do like the pork.
Oh, my gosh. Sausage. I mean,
sausage, everything.
My favorite meat is pork. That's the way I used to be until I came down with heart disease at the age of 27. Almost checked out on it. I thought, well, I think I'll pass on the pork now. And then I realized what the Bible had to say about it. I said, you know what? If this Kraut, if you like that little term, this German, this American German, born here in the United States, born in the good old USA, can stop eating pork, anybody can do it. If this guy can stop drinking his 18 cups of coffee a day, you could do that too. And if you're going to do coffee, do the water processed decaf. I'm not giving it an endorsement because it still contains caffeine. It'll still elevate cortisol somewhat, but at least it's healthier for you than that high-octane stuff that's got sludge or the regular processed decaf that uses formaldehyde. Just thought I'd mention that for you, all the chemicals in that. But it was interesting. Last night I was watching a documentary on World War II. Now, you think, is that what you do with your free time? It's better than Netflix.
That's a fact.
I'm about to get rid of it.
If if it is a legitimate, realistic documentary.
It was.
Okay, that's
I'll let you borrow it.
If it's another Holocaust sympathizing documentary.
No, it wasn't. And you know, and it said something about the SS. Now, I thought the SS was Aryan only. That's what we've all been told.
Yeah.
It wasn't. They had Muslim brigades that were SS.
Did they really? I didn't know that either.
I didn't either. I mean, and the Muslim generals that were SS.
Really?
Yes. And one of the top guys in the SS who escaped Germany, and Hitler had said that if he'd had a son, it would have been this guy. He said that people don't understand what the SS when they talk about racial purity. He said they weren't talking about racial purity of Aryans. They were talking about anybody's racial purity, whether they were Africans or Muslims or white people or whatever, to try to be the best that your race can be. And I thought, well, that puts a whole different light on it, doesn't it?
Because they're a little different than what they told everybody.
Oh, yeah. And then they start interviewing all these people about the gas chambers and all of them who got locked up. And the guy goes, the guy did this big, he was a Jewish guy. He did this big report back in the 90s. And he goes, because here's the problem they've got. There's no seals on the doors.
No.
He goes, anybody who dropped pellets in here to release cyanide gas, he goes, they would all die too.
Well, the one.
And what do you do with the gas to get it out if you got no vacuum system? Well, it didn't have any of that.
The one they covered on that is an interesting documentary. Again, I wasn't there, but they went through one of the facilities that they said were allegedly a gas chamber, and the only exfil vent was through the roof. And the crazy part about it was that whole facility was right next to the chow hall. So they said if this gas vented through the top after they were done exterminating people, you would dump the gas
And what this historian said was this. He said that Stalin, you know, they control Poland, right? And so Stalin came in and he basically took this room that basically was a bathroom facility, tore the walls out of it, put four holes in the roof to say they could drop cyanide pellets through it, and staged the fact that it was basically an extermination, you know, gas chamber. And there's a Jewish guy saying this. And then he said they went in and they took all these, quote, gas chambers. They scraped the walls to look for residues of cyanide.
Correct.
And out of the three places that were the gas chambers, there was none. And they used that Cyclone B, which was for lice.
Yeah.
And the one place where they de-loused all the prisoners coming in, they had Cyclone B through the roof. But the quote-unquote areas that had the gas chambers didn't have any Cyclone B in
Correct.
Them. And so you think to yourself, what have we been told? Well, the Russians lie about everything. You know, people don't understand. You know, they're still, and I told you guys this years ago when they started that war in Ukraine. Ukraine had been decimated by the hundreds of thousands of people killed by Stalin. Stalin killed everybody. He was a nightmare from hell. Really, I mean, I say that very sincerely. And the Ukrainian people were so happy when the Nazis came in Austin that they had marching in the streets and they were having these great things because Ukraine had been liberated. And to this day, several years ago when Russia started the war with Ukraine, they still had Nazi people, Nazi divisions, and Nazi people wearing Nazi uniforms and people wearing swastikas.
Yeah.
You think, well, that's not true. It is. They were that thankful to Hitler for getting them away from Stalin. You think, well, this is not what I read in the history books. In Croatia, same thing. It had been under rule for years, for hundreds of years, and it was freed. All this stuff happened, you know, under the Third Reich. And then we have Patton coming in at the end and saying, hey, we fought the wrong enemy. We should rearm the German troops and get rid of these communists. This group of people that we call communists that were with Stalin and Lenin, they were barbarians. Stalin used to say, if I can't kill 15,000 people a day, I've had a bad day. Listen to this. They had all of these people out of the Soviet Union that had been taken prisoner of war, millions of them. And what they did after the war was over with and they were released back to Russia, you know what Stalin did with them? He arrested them. Murdered, had a bunch of them killed because they were prisoners of war, and put them in work camps because they didn't resist hard enough and became prisoners of war. They didn't die. They were supposed to fight to the death. You think, well, I didn't hear this in this. Well, no, but he was our ally, remember, because we can't talk about him. All right, anyhow, what do you got next one?
12 health fact doctors don't want you to stop believing. This is actually a very interesting article, and about 9 to 10 out of these are really accurate. These are certain health topics, health facts, health discussions that are still being basically manipulated through a lot of the mainstream media and medical industrial complex that they tell you this is what you have to do, this is how you have to believe it, this is what you have to think. And you know, one of those we've seen over the years now that's gotten even worse, but more people are starting to wake up, are statin drugs. That's not even on this list, which it should be. Statin drugs. I had another customer come in the other day, a new customer, friend of a friend, and he came in actually really good shape, really healthy, blood work's good. And we were talking about statins. He said, I'm not going on stuff at all. It was my cholesterol. His cholesterol was like 230. He said, I always eggs, butter, and beef all the time. I said, it shows. Blood work looks perfect. He goes, doctor, I'm going statins. I said, that's up to you. I said, if I had your blood work, I wouldn't touch statins. It's just not needed. He goes, I'm not touching them. Well, what's interesting now is you have these certain facts, or I should call them lies, that keep them perpetuated now. And now AI is taking a step further and continuing to perpetuate these lies, because remember, AI bases everything off data, off aggregating data and compiling it and then formulating an answer. AI can't just divulge a topic and divulge an answer from zero. It doesn't have that ability to do so. It's got to aggregate data. And so what they've done now is, over the last couple of years, they've been continually putting together these fact checkers that are now no longer reliable, like Snopes. So now they're using AI to manipulate the topics. It says here, one of the first ones on the list is, fevers are bad and you need to lower your body temperature. It's a myth that fever should always be lowered. Obviously, if you start getting temperature that starts, you know, reaching 104, 105, you probably need to start addressing it. You know, I remember one time I had real bad flu years ago, and my fever got like 105.5, and it was bad. I was not feeling good at all. And I might took a little bit of ibuprofen and some stuff to get my temperature back down. But in most cases, a low-grade fever is not cause of concern, nor does it need medication. It doesn't need medication. Just a little bit of discomfort. Deal with it. If you're 100.5, 101, your kid's got a fever, and you're monitoring it, they're okay. Let it be. Let them burn through it. There's a reason why a lot of people do a sauna to knock out, you know, basically a sickness. You know, Dad's got a sauna in the back room over there. I've used numerous times, and when I've been sick before, I'll go in and just jump in the sauna for 30 minutes. And you would basically induce a fever. And your body temperature comes back down. So fevers aren't something you got to run. I know people before, I've talked to them, oh, my child, their temperature's 99.8. I got to give them Tylenol right now. Literally heard that verbatim before. And I look at them like, A, why do you even give your child Tylenol? B, why in the world do you give them the Tylenol with a 99 when they have a fever? That's not a fever. Their body temperature is slightly elevated. Oh, you calm down with it. Watch the temperature on it. Monitor it. But don't be giving them, incentivetamine for everything. It says taking antacids fixes your heartburn. That's, again, a complete and total lie. Antacids usually have calcium carbonate in them, which will decrease stomach acid, which will stop heartburn for a very short period of time, but cause a whole host of other health problems, including calcifying the arteries. Listen, heartburn maybe being caused too much stomach acid is a myth. High stomach acid can be a trigger for heartburn, but actually, many people with antacid reflux have too little stomach acid. Dad's talked about this before. Your body's not producing enough. It doesn't shut off the ring in your esophagus to stop it from coming back up the throat. So what happens is too little stomach acid. Esophageal sphincter, that's right. And so what happens is, though it's not triggering that to kick on, to close up, because you don't have enough stomach acid. So a lot of times taking the heartburn medication just reduces the even more stomach acid that you already don't have, which causes more issues with digestion, which causes more issues with nutrient absorption. So it's a cyclical effect that gets worse and worse and worse. Use proper supplements like the digestive enzymes or the gastrogest. Those help out incredibly well to make sure that you can really, really get your body digesting the food and shut that off. And also, too, look at what you're eating. A lot of times people don't realize when you start eating these ultra-processed foods with all these preservatives in them. You know, the one that we bring up the other day, that was going on with the type 1 carcinogens. I talked about this as far as with deli ham. Deli ham and other processed foods found an increased risk of cancer. They've also found, now when you look at this, that basically a lot of these ingredients in here with the preservatives, potassium ascorbate, look at this, potassium, give me camera four, potassium metribuzate, sodium nitrite, potassium nitrite, acetyl acid, these preservatives are classified as generally recognized as safe. However, they've been massively linked to increased risk of cancer. These also can cause significant issues with heartburn and a lot of digestive problems in the body, so stay away from these. Another one on the list here is avoid milk. If you're talking about all types of, you know, ultra-pasteurized, homogenized milk, probably. If you have the ability to get good, free-range, grass-fed, organic, raw milk, that's a whole different story. It says taking aspirin.
Avoid milk if you have a cold.
Yeah.
You said that.
Taking aspirin daily will prevent a heart attack. That's, again, they're saying now, despite these protocols, January survey found that 48% of American adults believe the benefits of daily low aspirin to prevent heart attack or stroke outweigh the risk. Nearly 20% of adults with no personal or family history of heart attack or stroke take low-dose aspirin. Anyone considering low-dose aspirin needs to see their doctor first. Aspirin for prevention is now recommended only for people with existing cardiovascular disease. They said aspirin has serious risk of increasing bleeding events, such as bleeding in the stomach or the brain. It's not recommended for daily use.
It also has been linked to wet macular degeneration. In other words, it makes the retina detach from the back of the eye because it's such a strong blood thinner. You know, that's just not, I never would recommend aspirin at all for a blood thinner. It's too strong of a blood thinner. Use vitamin E, use cod liver oil, much healthier for you. Now, going back to the whole thing with the stomach acid, use digestive enzymes. We've got some really good ones. And so sometimes you'll feel like you're having a heart attack because you've got so much acid, you know, and gas against your heart. And you feel like you got chest pain. And you take the acid, the digestive enzymes, you end up basically, you know, being better. We had a good friend of ours, his name was Dexter, and he basically had all kinds of health issues. He was older and never took care of himself, and we got him on a supplement program, including the digestive enzymes and a lot. He had tremendous results, and then suddenly he got Obamacare, and he started getting free garbage supplements from the government, stopped taking our supplements, started having all kinds of health problems again. I pleaded with him not to take certain products which cause cancer. Then he came down with cancer. I pleaded with him to stop taking those products. And I told him, I said, you're not going to get better. It was last year I went to his funeral. Yeah, Dexter died. And then the sad part about it is because he had free health care, he decided that he was going to go ahead and go with what they were telling him to take. And he simply didn't listen. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to your doctor, but if you have a doctor who's giving you advice, you better get multiple opinions.
Exactly right.
The other day I was talking to a woman, and she's having problems with her heart rate. And she was saying that she's going in to have, you know, a valve replacement and cardiac surgery and all this rest of the stuff. And how, while she's in, she's going to go ahead and get a breast lift. And she's going to get her tubes tied. And I'm like, whoa. I said, how do you know it's just not a magnesium deficiency? You don't know that. Get another opinion. Well, I like the doctor I've got. I said, I don't care if you like the doctor you've got or not. Get some more opinions. Because a lot of times people go in for these quote unquote simple surgeries, they find out very quickly they weren't so simple after all. And like with breasts, people say, well, I'm going to have both my breasts taken off with a double mastectomy. And you find out the doctor says it's routine. Well, it's routine for him. He does it every day. The problem is, he goes, well, it'll take like one reconstructive surgery. She's already had 30 reconstructive surgeries and is still having problems. And the breast cancer came back. And then you find out the studies show that a lumpectomy is as effective in most cases as a mastectomy. And without all of the debilitating surgery. So Austin's right, really. What's your next one, Austin?
Next one on here is interesting. This is a big myth that a lot of people don't realize. It says doing sit-ups flattens your stomach.
That's not true.
Complete total lie. You say more the miracle 5-minute workout will flatten your stomach fast. No, the miracle 5 minutes not eating crap all day and making your own meals at home will start to lower your stomach and flatten it out. Going in and eating up junk all day by doing 5 minutes of sit-ups or 20 minutes of sit-ups isn't going to do anything. Core exercise is important. Exercising your core, staying fit, staying basically keeping your body tight. However, diet is what makes abs and what gets body fat down. Because remember, you got two different types of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you have basically the visceral fat, and basically also have the internal fat that's basically around the organs. A lot of times people don't realize they start getting their subcutaneous fat down above their abs. They start getting it down, but their stomach still protrudes. That's because all the fat inside the internal organ, inside the liver. You've got to change your diet and start burning body fat and basically getting exercise in and doing sit-ups. Will not do that. We'll get your core tighter, but it's not going
to
burn body fat.
You may be able to suck your gut in.
Yeah.
But once you relax, it's going to poke right
back out on there. Another one on here, and this is a big one, says you need extremely intense workouts to get real health benefits.
No.
That is not necessarily accurate. Now, if you're young and you're a guy or you're a girl and you're trying to grow and you're trying to build, trying to build a core muscle and basically get that strength in and size, you absolutely need to be going to failure. They need to be the intense, heavy, all-out workouts. When you get done, you're exhausted, you got to sleep, eat, and recover. That's the goal. But as far as exercising to full intensity and full failure all the time just to get health benefits, that's not accurate.
That was really pushed back in the 70s by Art Jones, who developed the Nautilus equipment, exercising to failure with real short intervals. And some of that
it's hit training.
Well, no, it's good, but it's good.
It's not necessary.
And then he did a thing called the Colorado experience with a guy by the name of Casey Viator, and he gained like 60 pounds of muscles in 30 days. Really? No.
Yeah.
And so they found out that nobody could ever replicate that.
He's probably on a cycle.
Whatever. But the point was, you know, that was the big thing that went through. But now people like Boyer Cove picked up on it, okay? And I knew Boyer. Still did. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in years. And he basically said you go to failure when you work out. And he's right about that.
If you're trying to grow.
He said, if you're trying to grow, if you want to do chest, well, his thing with chest was you do 4 sets of inclines with 15 reps per set, and you do every set to failure and have somebody spot you. And that works great. Then you superset flies and dips to failure. And that will blow your chest up. It will. I mean, if you go down, especially when you go down all the way with dips, and it only takes about 12 minutes twice a week to have that type of workout. But boy, is it intense. And it'll get you sick. I mean, you'll throw up. But I tell you what, you'll grow like crazy if you're younger. But if you're trying to do that and you have joint issues already, you're going to hurt yourself. You don't, you know, that's what these guys, they do this. What's that stuff called now where they start doing the push-ups and...
CrossFit?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody that I know has shoulder injuries over the age of 40.
I've done CrossFit, trained CrossFit, watched CrossFit, had dozens of people that I know severely injured at CrossFit. CrossFit took a lot of the base core military exercising, which was great. I loved it. They got a lot of stuff from the Army and the Marine Corps. But then they tried to dial it in with powerlifting and bodybuilding and tried to make this trifecta that just turned into a giant triangle of joint
injury.
Joint death.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go, oh, we're going to do, you know, overhead presses, clean and jerks to complete failure. Then we're going to go run for 10 minutes. And then we're going to do pull-ups to failure. And then we're going to go do box jumps with kettlebells. And I'm like, okay, I see where these exercises are coming into play. But then we're going to put on time limit. You got to have everything done in less than a minute and a half.
Heart attack, baby.
Okay, well, yeah, and in joint. Then what happens is the form goes to crap. This is why I've watched so many times. Everybody's in such a rush to beat the other person's time with these exercises, especially compound exercises like clean and jerks. All of a sudden goes, oh, I got 18 of them. I can't move my shoulder anymore. It's numb. I'm like, well, yeah.
Tore rotator cuff
out now. I mean, good luck with that. And so there's certain exercises isolated. Yes, they can be beneficial. Certain intense exercises like military training, they can be beneficial for your goals. But stop trying to compound all these different types of styles of training into one single set and then put a timer on it and then try to beat everybody and then wonder why everybody blows out their ACLs and, you know,
well,
joints.
I personally think over the age of 30, you shouldn't be doing any overhead military presses unless you're using dumbbells and using higher reps.
I love dumbbell presses.
Because, I mean, if you want to clean and jerk 175 pounds off the floor and you're 30 years old, there's a high probability you're going to get hurt. Now, if you're using a rack to do that, just lower the weight and do 25 reps.
Well, and here's the issue you run into CrossFit, and this is the biggest thing. You take people that don't have the joint development and energy stamina and muscle stamina, and you put them on these exercises and put a clock on them.
They've never worked out their whole lives.
Right. If you got somebody that's been into powerlifting since they were 16, they've done it in the gym. They've done powerlifting. Their joints, their wrist, their elbows, their shoulders are used to it.
Muscle memory.
Muscle memory. Joint memory. Ligaments and tendon structure. They're there. And they say, you know what? Yeah, I want to start doing these exercises because I've been doing it for 10 years.
Start light.
They're probably okay. You start doing light. You get warmed up on it. You take people that have never worked out a day in their life. I mean, I've seen it. They had one guy I knew. He was like 40 years old, 50 years old, never really exercised. He gets in there and goes, yeah, they're pushing me on this. They're pushing me on that. They got me doing, you know, clean and jerks. Then we're going push-ups. Then we're doing sit-ups. Then we're doing this. And I'm like, bro, you're 50 years old. You never stepped foot in a gym before. Your joints are not developed for this type of training. It wasn't. 2 or 3 months later, I saw him. He's in a sling. Shoulder's gone. I mean, he's gone. He's got to go full surgery on his shoulder. Yeah, man, blew my whole entire shoulder out. I'm like, not being it. Jerk, but like, how'd that work out? It work out and train the way you need to develop and how you've trained before and work your way up.
Going gluten-free is a healthier diet.
That's a complete lie in most cases. Going gluten-free or avoiding foods that contain gluten on the packaging, they're now saying 1/3 of adults say they prefer to reduce it. However, nobody seems to realize is that most foods that say gluten-free on them, they're super high in calories, they're super low in fiber, and they're usually high in basically high glycemic carbohydrates.
Well, the gluten-free, you know, we went for, you know, this is the history of mankind. I never had a problem with gluten sensitivity until we started spraying wheat with Roundup.
There you go.
And now 95% of all the crops in the United States that are wheat products basically are sprayed with Roundup. And Roundup causes gastrointestinal problems, which have been linked to gluten sensitivity. So it'd be better to go with organic bread. I go to Germany.
I was just about to say, you know, you'll notice how, you
and
know,
I never have
gluten
an issue with
sensitivity
bread.
Over there.
Never have an issue.
I even have an issue over here. I eat real processed bread sometimes. My stomach gets messed up.
Me
you
too.
Tell.
Yeah.
You eat that over in Europe, over in Germany. Problem's not really there. And it says right here, additional research shows that many gluten-free products are highly processed. Highly processed foods are linked to higher risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and death from all causes. Because what happens is most times these gluten-free, they put it on there as it's a healthy packaging. Remember, a lot of the marketing they put on this packaging is designed to sell the item. It's not designed to provide a healthy food. You know, these companies that make this food, in most cases, they don't care about your health. They care about profits. They'll lie to you. They'll manipulate you. They'll deceive you on purpose because they don't care. They're all looking at their bottom line on it.
Plus, it also been linked to celiac disease with Roundup. I mean, I have talked to people in their 20s with celiac disease, and they're have sections of their intestinal tract pulled out, taken out because it's dead from the celiac disease. It's a serious problem, but almost always, in my opinion, caused by glyphosate. My opinion. What's your next story?
That's what on here. It says dark chocolate is always good.
No, it's not.
That's not accurate. A lot of chocolates are
lead.
Very high in lead. A lot of times they can have processing agents in them as well. The research found the compound theobromine found in dark chocolates, good to slow biological aging. If you're going to get stuff, make sure you're getting some, you got to get like extra, the dark cacao chocolate, like 70-80%. You got to make
Tastes
sure
awful.
It's clean. It doesn't have a lot of basically additives to it. It also doesn't have any lead to it.
It has less sugar too.
Right. Most of it has way less sugar in it. But if you're going to go eat some unbelievably processed, toxic Hershey bar chocolate, like the worst chocolate in existence, no demand, don't pretend you got the dark chocolate.
We used to have a really good chocolate bar.
We did.
And then what happened is they were actually distributed here out of Auburndale.
Yep.
And they had a big, refrigerator system over there. And we built the brand for them. This was like 10 years ago.
It was like 70% cacao chocolate. And it actually tasted decent without much sweetener in it. It was a little bitter.
And then they decided they were going to go internal with them. I'm not sure they're still in business or not.
No, they ran into some of the issues that I've watched happen to dozens of companies now. They started working with distributors.
Selling direct.
One of the big ones, too, that basically has ruined a lot of companies is UNFI. They've ruined businesses, small businesses, because what they'll do is, and I had a great, great company that was doing beef jerky. Local, small company, distributing it. And what happens is they'd give, a pallet of beef jerky to UNFI. UNFI would mispick products, not ship products, let products get out of expiration, and then back charge the company. Oh, well, we missed a pallet. We didn't know we had it. It expired 3 months ago. We're not paying for it now. They wouldn't pay for it. Or they'd mispick it. They'd go in and somebody would order 12 of them. They'd give them one of them. The company would backcharge them. Then UNFI backcharged the company. And then the company didn't do anything wrong. They're like, dude, I gave you the product. You mispicked it. Sorry. That's a you problem.
They went out of business, too.
They went out of business, too. Another one on here. Now, this is the one I disagree with on certain levels. It says running can damage your joints. Yes, it can. However, there's also benefits to making sure you're getting proper lower leg exercises like walking, exercising, jogging in some cases. If you do it, make sure you're doing it on a softer surface and make sure you're doing it on proper insert soles, shoes, running wear that you need to do. But going out and doing like 10K runs every weekend, there's no health benefit to that.
No, when it says running can damage your joints, that's a true statement. It can damage your heels. It can damage your ankles. It can damage your calves. It can give you shin splints. I know so many people that have had hip replacement surgery who ran their whole life. Running does damage your joints, especially if you're running on concrete barefoot.
Especially long distances, too.
It will eat your hips up, especially if you're over the age of 40. I mean, it will tear you up. So I would recommend that you do non-impact cardio training like an elliptical runner if you really need to do that, or have a cushion pad on a treadmill. They have really good ones. I have cushion decks on them. They work pretty good. And or you can even do deep knee bends, or you can do basically jumping on a trampoline, a little mini trampoline, just jogging lightly on that. That does more for your joints, to help your joints, and how it helps to maintain healthy blood pressure than anything else you can do. We try to walk 5 minutes on the treadmill every day, 5 to 6 days a week, and we try to do 5 minutes on the trampoline every single day. In addition to
that, trampoline, your blood pressure good.
And that's every day, 6 days a week, because we're not really maximizing, the cardio output, but we're also not increasing joint damage. One of the biggest things you don't want to do is do squats with weights. You don't want to ever do those.
No.
That really
barbell squats. You can do regular squats with like dumbbells and stuff. There's a lot of good exercise you can do with dumbbells. I've used them over the years because as far as neck problems, I've had those issues with motocross before. But doing heavy, heavy barbell squats, they will ruin your back quick. There are multiple types of exercise, squat exercise you can do, even with moderate weight, with dumbbells and stuff like that. They can really work you out without putting all that pressure.
But be careful with your age, because I have a friend of mine who's a chiropractor. He's a neurologist also. And he said that when you have a knee joint that's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, he said what happens, you start wearing that cartilage and that tendon out, and that joint starts rubbing on that patella tendon, and you start having a situation where you start causing knee damage and knee wear if you do excessive amounts of weight when you're doing squats. It's better to use no body weight at all, or no extra weight when you're doing squats. I disagree with Austin on this, over the age of 30. Okay, now, Boyer Coe told me when I was 21 years old, he said, don't ever do squats at all. He won Mr. Universe repeatedly. He did leg press. because it takes the pressure off the back, like Austin just said, and it doesn't cause back issues. But be very, very careful with overworking those knees. I know so many bodybuilders, their knees are trashed out completely from doing the squats with the bar or even doing dumbbell squats. Be very, very careful with those knees. And don't always overextend them. You don't want to do rock bottom squats. Now, you can do a deep knee bend like that, but make sure you're holding on to something. You don't flip over backwards to maintain the mobility. But make sure you do stretches all of the time. It's so very, very important. But I will agree with this, but I will say it this way. Excessive running can damage your joints, especially someone who's a lifelong runner who, like Austin said, who wants to do a 10K every weekend.
Yeah, there's no health benefits. The problem is, too, what people don't realize.
They run on concrete.
And you start doing that long-term as well. What happens is you start going very catabolic. You can't maintain any level of strength or muscle tissue because your body has to eat the muscle tissue.
That's why you don't see any muscled up long distance.
No, and I'm not saying you have to be muscled up or you got to be big. What I'm saying is, too, you also have to have enough structural rigidity and strength to be able to function. I mean, if you're practicing or training or going out with your guys on the weekend and you guys are operating or you got teams that you're doing and you're in kit, your body armor, you got rifles, you're moving, you've got to have enough strength to be able to keep up with all that gear. Most times, guys are really, really skinny because they wear out. They gas out really quick because they can't carry 30 or 40 pounds on them. That's something you got to look at, too. And if you really want to maintain your overall joints, you've got to stay on the collagen. The collagen will really help keep your joints together and really help basically lubrication of the joints because you get that. There you go, right there. Look at that. The collagen. I mean, I just had a scoop this morning. And what happens is it's the glue that keeps your joints together. It's the glue that keeps your body together. Collagen is so important for the body, especially if you're exercising, you're active.
And the vitamin C holds the collagen together.
Correct. That's why we got 250 mg of vitamin C. And if you want to add more, add the powder in there. And you can also, like I said earlier, if you want to do like kind of a mixed stack, you got vitamin C, zinc, D3. This keeps the immune system strong, and you're getting your vitamin C doses that you need, and it also keeps your entire body functioning and keeping your strength. And basically,
do we have a healthy immune or healthy joint kit?
We do, actually. I put it together a while back ago. Let me see what's in here. You guys like that, don't you? You just type in joint stuff on here. Excellent C, collagen. Did I put one together? We did the vitamin C.
I don't think so. But let's go back up some. Let's go up to the other four. I want to show you here. Turmeric. Turmeric is something I take every day. I take 5 in the morning and 5 at night. You say, well, that's too much.
Oh, that one right there.
Yeah. But I tell you what, this is a great product. We get it out of Germany.
Yeah.
The omega-3s are great for inflammation also. And now we have the magnesium dead sea oil. That's a topical product that you use.
Yeah.
So all these things really work well for joints. I take most of them every single day.
No, they are on here, and that's the where's the one on here? I think I put that
joint rebuilding formula.
No, joint rebuilding formula is great. That's the one we put together as far as overall for the joints on here. But I was going to put together that vitamin C and collagen kit. I think I'm supposed to do it for everybody. I slacked off on that. Let me put it together for you guys on here. That's a big one that we need to make sure we have available as well on the site. And closing these up on here, so I got some other topics. It says you need to stay awake after concussion. That is actually not true. Sleep is actually crucial for brain healing after a concussion. You just got to make sure there's not a serious brain bleed. Swelling after an injury should be treated. Not necessarily. A lot of times swelling is natural on a serious injury, like ankle break. And the 12th one on here, most chronic diseases are incurable. This is a big one. This is what the doctors always tell you. We need to manage your disease. You need to get ready for this when they put you on these drugs.
They tell you the same thing about rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, all the time.
Not true.
All the time. It's an inflammation disease. You've got to get the inflammation down. The turmeric is one of the most effective products I've ever seen. Turmeric and collagen will massively decrease joint inflammation.
Well, and getting off tomatoes.
And
eggplant,
exactly
bell pepper. Yeah.
Yep.
And potatoes.
It says, while many chronic diseases can last a lifetime, there's growing evidence that certain conditions like type 2 diabetes, early stage heart disease, can be put into remission just through lifestyle changes. And that's a fact. I've had multiple people. And again, they did this with their own doctor. They had type 2 diabetes. Their doctor put them on metformin or insulin. They're completely off of it now. Again,
lifestyle change.
Lifestyle change, supplementation with the vitamin C, the berberine, the cinnamon extract, the turmeric, and go in and stop eating all the crap. If you're eating foods that are type 1 carcinogens, they tell you these type 1 foods cause cancer. They tell you that these foods are going to cause long-lasting diseases. They tell you that ultra-processed foods are 70% of the grocery stores. And if you eat these foods, you're going to have all types of other diseases come with them. Doesn't it make sense to go, maybe I need to cut these out of my diet? Maybe I need to stop eating these foods. Maybe I'm going to give myself a month of detox and fast and get it out of me and do a GHI cleanse and let my body inflammation come down, and then I'll assess what else I want to do next before I start going on 3, 4, 5, 6 medications. Just an idea.
People don't listen, Austin.
No, they don't.
And some do. Some really smart people, you'll say, maybe this, and this are causing this. I'll never forget. I had a guy named Jeff LaCour came to my house back in the 80s when I had come down with that pericarditis. And I remember we had ordered pizza and gone to Miami, Florida State football game. I was having all these heart issues. And I'll never forget, I didn't want to go out to dinner, so we ordered pizza, and they delivered it to us. And I remember I ordered pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
And he was picking the pepperoni off his pizza.
You're probably eating it.
No, I was putting it on my pizza.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And finally he says to me, he goes, the reason that you're having these problems with your heart is you have undigested proteins, urea, that is basically feeding this bacteria that's lining your heart. Unless you stop eating all this pork, you're going to die. I looked at him, I said, well, why hasn't anyone told me that? Well, he's also a PhD. And he said, well, you got to realize you got to stay with the biblical health products, the things that God tells you to eat, not to eat. He told me about a book by Elmer Josephson's called God's Keys to Health and Happiness. And it talked about not eating pork. He says, read this book. So I got the book and I read it. And I told him, I said, you know, I was never told this. I was never taught this in all the biology, chemistry classes that I had, that pork is that bad for you. It's that bad. And now here we are, Austin, 40, 50 years later, and they're coming in telling us that basically
it's type 1.
Type 1 carcinogen and one of the primary causes of cancer and one of the primary causes of disease globally is pork. And it's also because of the parasitic infestations from it. So he was right about that. But I listened to him. That's the point. You know, he talked to me, and I listened to him. And I came off the coffee, I came off the pork, and I started recovering. Almost immediately, by the way. And see, isn't that what most people want, to recover? But they don't want to do what they have to do to recover. Like I was speaking to that young lady the other day that was going in to have routine heart surgery. There's no such thing as routine heart surgery, by the way. It's all super dangerous. They got to stop your heart. They hope they can start it up again. And, you know, I said, you know, maybe you need to try this, this, and this. Well, I'm happy with the doctor that I'm using. I'm like, okay, great. Don't listen. But to me, I'd be like, let me try something else. Because she was fully functional. She wasn't blue. She was running around. She was walking around. So to me, it's like this. If you've got a real serious problem that requires medical intervention right now, or you're going to die. I had an aunt. They told us, well, you've got a coronary artery. We have to do blah, blah, blah. Heart surgery on you. She's like 85 years old, 100 pounds overweight. And I told her, I said, don't do this. I said, they're probably going to kill you in surgery. And they killed her in surgery. Yeah. And the day before the surgery, she walked 3 miles, by the way.
Yeah, the only caveat to that, and obviously I'm going to say this just as a disclaimer, if you've got like a compound fracture from a motorcycle accident,
get it fixed.
Your bone's sticking out, you need to have surgery right now. But other than that, a lot of these things, do your research and take a
step
back. Get
more than one opinion. Oh, by the way, did you see the video of the Viking in a bathtub getting chased by ICE agents?
AI?
Probably.
I think it was.
But it was great. There's a Viking in a bathtub because he was Norwegian, and he was being chased down the street, running away in the bathtub, and they're all in full kit chasing him in the bathtub.
I think it was AI, but yeah, it was really funny.
But when it says Viking in the bathtub gets chased by fuming immigration agents, as President Trump's massive deportation campaign sparks chaos in several states, Minnesota has become a focal point of viral videos and even AI-generated clips depicting bizarre standoffs like the Viking bathtub, which I thought was pretty great. And now they're saying, though, that there's all kinds of things going on in Minnesota, and that Trump maybe unleashed the doggone military in Minnesota, which we talked about the Insurrection Act last week, and I really hope that doesn't happen.
A lot of this is controlled conflict.
That's right.
Controlled fear.
And now we have thousands protesting in Greenland that they don't want to be absorbed into the United States. And so, yeah. And also, one other thing, too. They're talking about there are a lot of resort towns now all over the world, to change the topic, that are extremely dangerous for people to go into. And they even list Orlando for that. And they start listing a lot of the cities in Italy and a lot of the different areas around the world. And they're warning you, if you go to these places, even like Cancun, be really careful because they've got gangs running around, especially Paris, Cancun, Myrtle Beach, Athens. And realize, when you go out of the country, make sure if you've got a fancy watch and you want to wear it, don't wear it there.
Don't even
wear a wedding ring.
Orlando's gotten extremely rough in downtown Orlando. I was in downtown Orlando about 5 weeks ago. I had a friend of mine invite me to they have box seats at the Magic's game, Orlando Magic's game. I've never been to a basketball game before. No, I've never been to a pro game. So he had box seats. He had a big group up there with some banking guys that I wanted to meet. And I met them. They were cool. Game was cool. Facility's amazing. We got done with the game. We're out. And I'm not exaggerating. There was probably 40 to 45 Orlando PD, across downtown Orlando. And I stopped to talk to one of the PD. I said, gosh, do you guys need this much law enforcement down here? See, this guy's outside the facility, full kit.
Wow.
He's full kit. I mean, these guys are full body armor, M4s. And he goes,
machine guns.
Yeah, they're semi-auto, though. They weren't full auto. I asked him. He goes, they're semi. And I said, you guys got this much presence. He goes, well, Orlando Magic ain't big, a lot of security here. He said, but pretty much every single weekend, we have this much presence. And I said, is it that bad? He goes, oh, it's that bad. He goes, once the bars let out at 2 o'clock in downtown Orlando, he goes, you don't want to be down here at all, period. Especially certain parts. He was listed certain areas of Orlando where it gets worse, and then it gets worse, and then it gets real worse.
Colonial's one of the worst.
Yeah, and he says pretty much we have to keep this level of presence down here all the time now, especially with a lot of the groups that come out from these bars, and certain ethnic groups want to get in a fight with other certain ethnic groups, and they start having basically gang confrontations in the middle of the street, and shootings in the middle of the street.
Saw it Ybor City.
So Ybor City. So, again, certain areas be careful of. This is an article I'm going to go into more detail tomorrow. I just got a whole stuff that I'm going to cover on this, but I want to give everybody a heads up on it. AI manipulating people like puppets. This is a really good article. I got some health stuff that's going to tie into this now, and this is going to go into detail on how you got to be so careful where you're getting your information from. Here at Health Masters and the Brower Show, we try to do our absolute best to bring you guys high-quality supplements, but also high-quality real news. We'll put our talk on it. We'll tell you what we think about something. I'll give you my opinion, but at the end of the day, I encourage everybody to do your own research. Listen to what we're saying, take it for what you want, and go with it.
Read this first sentence.
What?
I wrote an article this week about how the medical industry deliberately keeps people sick because treating disease is more profitable than curing them. Within hours, my comments section was flooded with people telling me I was lying.
Sounds like our show.
Not because they did any research, not because they read a book or consulted a primary resource or talked to a whistleblower or did anything that resembles actual investigation. They asked ChatGPT. They asked Grok. And they typed my claims into a text box owned by a billionaire and asked the billionaire's machine if the billionaire's system was screwing them over. And when the machine said no, they declared victory and called me a fraud.
We'll cover this tomorrow.
Ooh, that's
strong. Happened a lot now. I've gotten people, well, I've looked up this, I've AI'd this. The issue everybody's starting to do now is they're starting to use AI as a crutch, not a tool. I've said this repeatedly now. If you want to use AI for certain things, it can be extremely quick and extremely beneficial as a tool. Do not use it as a crutch. Stop relying on it. Keep using your brain. The more we keep basically subcontracting these certain topics out, these certain ideas out, these certain tasks out like we're doing, the slower and slower everybody are going to function. What's happened is now, instead of using something like, when Word, for example, when Word came out, Word document, and they have spell check. Mm-hmm. Spell check was great, right? You go in and write a research paper, it's 20 pages, you're going to submit it to your professor, you click spell check at the end. So you make sure every single word spelled correctly. The problem is, what it has as a side effect? People stop remembering how to spell words correctly.
My spelling's going to mush.
We all did in college. I remember in early phases, being on the computer, pulling dictionaries out in order to look at papers and say, okay, this is the right way to spell it. You don't have to do that anymore. What happens is, though, when you pull a dictionary out, you got to look up the word, and you go, this is spelled correctly. Your brain analyzes it. It remembers it. You type it in, and you actually set it in your brain. When you go, spell check, all your little words you didn't remember how to spell correctly goes, it's great. It's brilliant. It's fast. It massively cut down production time on papers. However, it had side effects to it. AI is taking that to a whole nother level now because people don't even want to actually even do research.
Good analogy.
Do an assessment. Look at clinical trials. Look at references. And they go, AI, is the government lying to me about the COVID shot being safe and effective? Why? Mr. Brower, no. The government isn't lying to you. The COVID shot is safe and effective. See? It's not lying. You're lying to me. It's safe and effective. Don't be that guy. I'm going to go into detail on this tomorrow in the health industry, AI, what it's doing to people's bodies and what it's doing to their brains. So stay tuned on tomorrow's show. Stay up on the collagen peptides if you want your joints. And if you want to make sure you're staying healthy and strong on here, make sure you stay up to date on the immune support kit that we put together earlier here with the vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc on sale for like 10% off right now, if not more. Really, really good kit right now with everybody getting sick.
You know, Stalin would have loved to have AI
Oh,
as far as you know, as far
oh
as
my gosh,
and you know, and basically,
just, AI only gives you answers on what it correlates on data that it's
propaganda.
Given.
Unbelievable.
AI doesn't just come up with things out of random air. It takes data and it correlates them, and then it produces an answer. So whatever data it's being given, whatever pool it's pulling from, that's the answer it's going to come to conclusion.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney, another actress, Michelle Randolph, now is saying she won't use pronouns. She thinks they're ridiculous as far as proper pronouns, and they're slamming her. So she's following the steps of Sydney Sweeney.
Good
so I'm
her.
Really proud of her because
good
of that. And by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, for he is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith, and we do all things through Christ, through Jesus, who strengthens us. I got to pray for your church yesterday. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to the show. And thank you for not maybe agreeing with us with everybody, everything we say, but continuing to support and realize that we're all just doing the best we possibly can.
We're all in it together.
I love you guys.
Appreciate y'all. Talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.